الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, today we move on to the second dua which was recited in the Taraweeh Salah this evening, and it is titled as the most comprehensive dua. What happened to the pages? What happened to the notes? Come on, you guys are supposed to be bahating it every day. There's going to be an oral examination on night number 11. I'm just kidding. No examination, but those notes were given to you for a reason, so that you could follow the talk as we go along. Understand, today we were all fasting, so perhaps we forgot about it. But I think I shouldn't give you notes in advance, because what's going to happen is you're not going to come back with that note. So I'd rather give you notes on a nightly basis. MashaAllah, Dr. Saab has his notes before him. Barakallahu feek. No oral examinations, I'm just kidding, right? But let us memorize these du'as. How many of us sat with the du'a when we went back home last night? Perhaps it's it's an easy du'a. We have heard it throughout our lives, and we have been making this du'a all the time. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Right? It's a great du'a. It's a fantastic du'a. Today you might have made the du'a at the time of iftar. Why? Because you fasted the whole day. And there were a lot of good deeds that you did during the course of the day. Sir, you read Quran, you recited the Quran, you remembered Allah, you woke up for suhoor. Perhaps there was 2 rakats of salah that you performed at the time of suhoor. You wanted all those deeds to be accepted. You don't want it to go to waste. So at the end of the day, you raise your hands, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. So brothers and sisters, you know, these are the greatest du'as and the best du'as with which you can supplicate and invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do I say that? Because Allah is your Rabb. We spoke about Rabb, right, last night, and what Rabb really means. Allah is your Rabb, and Allah wants you to make du'a to you. Allah knows the exact words that you need to use in your du'a. And these are the words that Allah had revealed in His Qur'an, in His kalam, in His speech. So if you want to make du'a to Allah with the words that Allah has chosen, that Allah feels suitable and Allah deems as fit for His grandeur, are these very du'as that we are studying during these nights that Allah has subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. You know, last night a verse was recited in the Quran, in the Taraweeh Salah, and I thought I'll just spend a minute or two discussing the verse because it is directly related to dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. You know, sometimes you make dua for something and you really want it, and day and night you are making dua for it, whatever it may be, whether it is a spouse, whether it is that ultimate job that you want, whether it is a child, whatever it may be, a certain career, and you are making dua, and you feel and you think, in fact you are convinced that this is the right thing for me, it is good for me, right? Allah says, Asa an tuhibbu shay'an. Sometimes, perhaps, you love something, you are convinced it's good for you, you desire it, you really, really want it to the extent that you make dua to Allah for it on a daily basis. That's how much you want it. عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. But maybe it's not good for you. You think it's good for you, you hope it's good for you, you are convinced it's good for you, but Allah says perhaps it is bad for you. And Allah says at times, something might be, you might think it's bad for you. You might think it's not the right thing for you. How did this happen to me at this point and at this time? You ask yourself that question, that how is it that it happened to me? How could this happen to me? But perhaps through this calamity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved you for something worse. And I'd like to cite an example, you know, a personal experience. There's a certain Muslimah, a lady, who wishes to get married. And she has perhaps passed the marriageable age in terms of, not in terms of Sharia, because in terms of Sharia there is no limit to the age of marriage, but perhaps, you know, due to our customary norms and our society, she has passed the marriageable age. And recently somebody came to visit her with the intention of proposing for her. And she really wanted this man that came to see her. And she was really attracted to him. And from the conversation, she felt that this is the guy for me. I'm convinced he's the one for me. But he did not extend a proposal. And she went into a state of disappointment to a point where she was on the brink of depression. And she started asking herself and questioning that, what is it that's wrong with me? And she even started questioning the decision of Allah. And subhanAllah, about 2 weeks later, a relative of hers meets up with her and they start discussing this youngster and this boy who came to see her. Wallah, this relative told her, Allah has saved you from a very bad man. This man, he's a bad man. He has bad habits. He has a bad temper. He is a violent man. If you were to marry him and bring him into your home, perhaps you would have become an object of his abuse. And then she said, Alhamdulillah. At that point, what did she say? Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me from this type of a person. So Allah says something. Sometimes you think it's the right thing. In fact, you're convinced it's the right thing for you. Allah ends it beautifully. What does Allah say? Wallahu ya'lam. But Allah knows. Wa antum la ta'lamun. And you do not know. Allah has the knowledge. And Allah knows why He gives you something. And Allah knows why He is depriving you of something in this world. This is a beautiful dua. It's one of the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized upon us to supplicate to Allah with. And a dua that many of the Sahaba had emphasized the recitation of. There was a group of people, and when you see this dua, it comes in that part of the Quran, or it is connected to those verses which speak of Hajj. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that there were a group of people on the day of Arafah, when du'as are answered by Allah, there was a group of people and they were making du'a to Allah for what? Oh Allah, bless us with good rains. Oh Allah, bless us with good crops. Oh Allah, bless us with good livestock. Oh Allah, bless us with good health. So the only thing that they were making du'a for was worldly interests and the good of this world. Nothing about the akhirah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah says there are those people who raise their hands and what do they say? Our Rabb, give us of this dunya. Oh Allah, give me a good spouse. Oh Allah, give me a good home. Allah, give me a good vehicle. Oh Allah, give me a good job. Oh Allah, give me a good everything related to this world. Oh Allah, resolve my debts. Oh Allah, this problem. They're all worldly issues and problems. Allah says, وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ. Whenever they make dua, that is the only thing they make dua for. Allah says, in the akhirah, they will have nothing in the akhirah. There will be nothing reserved for them in the akhirah. Why? Because they only made dua for the things of this world. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. But Allah says, and from amongst the people are those, what do they say? رَبَّنَا our رَبْ. آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Give us. Fi means in. Give us in الدُّنْيَا. In this world, hasana. Give us good in this world. Hasana means good, all types of good. And we'll come to the meaning of hasana explained a bit later. Wafi, wa and. Wa means and in the Arabic language. Fi, again. And in al-akhirah. Al-akhirah, the life that comes next. Akhir means something that comes at the end. Or something that comes next in your life. That is known as akhirah. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And in the akhirah, Allah give us hasana as well. So give us hasana in this dunya and give us hasana in the akhirah. وَقِنَا. And protect us. Safeguard us. عَذَابَ النَّارِ. From the punishment of the fire. Let us study some of the words that are found in this dua. رَبَّنَا. We spoke about رَبْ yesterday. Okay? آتِنَا. Give us. In ad-dunya. Ad-dunya, when you study the word ad-dunya, you'll find that it is an Arabic word whose root is dal, noon, waw. The root letters of dunya is actually dal, noon, waw, or Dal Nun Ya. Now, what does Dal Nun Waw or Dal Nun Ya mean? The original letters of Adunya, it refers to something which is low, something which is lowly, something which is insignificant, something of inferior value, or something that is worthless. So we translate dunya as what? The world. But ad-dunya, do you know what ad-dunya actually means? That which is most insignificant, most inferior, and most low. Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this world ad-dunya? Ad-dunya means the lowest thing that you can find. You refer to it as ad-dunya. Allah has referred to this entire world as ad-dunya. Something that is most insignificant and completely worthless when you compare it to what? To al-akhirah. So in comparison to al-akhirah, it is a dunya. It's absolutely insignificant. There's no time, or there's no need or real reason for you to toil and kill yourself over something which is absolutely worthless in compared to al-akhirah, something which is far more of value and significance. Rather, you spend your energy and your resources on something that is genuine and something that is real, not on something which is so ad-dunya, so absolutely insignificant. So now we know the meaning of ad-dunya, what it really means. Though we translate it as the world, but it means the lowest thing and the most insignificant thing, the most worthless thing if you compare it to al-akhirah. Hasana. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hasana in this world, because what is the dua? Atina, O our Rabb, give us hasana. Give us hasana in this dunya. What does hasana refer to? And what does hasana include? It includes personal and family health. Right? Good health for yourself. Good health for your family. It includes increase in livelihood. Increase in your wealth. That is also hasana. That's something good. Look, wealth in essence is good. Wealth in itself, it is good. Okay? But now it depends on the person who uses the wealth. Whether he uses it in avenues of good or he chooses otherwise. But wealth in itself is a blessing from Allah. It is a bounty from Allah. There's so much good that we can accomplish through wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not have accomplished what he had accomplished with the poor without the wealth of the rich amongst the Sahaba. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So this is all the good in this world, the fulfillment of all your needs. So when you're making, and when you say, oh Allah, give me hasana in this world, keep all these aspects in your mind. Hasana is a very broad word, a very comprehensive word. It includes all the goodness in this world, good health, good wealth, and guidance on the straight path, a perfect sincerity in acts of worship. In fact, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah goes to the point of saying that hasana in this world refers to a good spouse. Hasana in this world refers to a good vehicle. Hasana in this world refers to a good home. To have a comfortable life in this world, all of that is included in this one word, hasana. So when you say, oh my Rabb, give me hasana, pause for a moment and think over the word hasana. All the good things in this world that are lawful, you want all of it in this world. There's nothing wrong for making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a good spouse, a good home, a comfortable home, a spacious home, a good vehicle, an increase in the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. There is no harm in doing so. In fact, the dua teaches us that we should do so. See, this dunya, it is a vehicle. It is a vehicle which we need in order to get to our destination. Our destination is al-akhirah, correct? We are all heading towards al-akhirah. And the dunya is the vehicle with which we move on to al-akhirah. And recently I cited this example, is when we plan a vacation, or when we plan a holiday, we are not only concerned of the destination. Of course, that is given priority. The hotel that you are going to live in, the amenities that are found, the activities that are found over there, okay? You are going to look and identify the best accommodation over there in the place that you are going to, your destination. But you need something that's going to carry you over there and that's going to transport you over there. You need a carrier, you need a vehicle, correct? And you are also going to pay equal amount of attention to the vehicle. The vehicle has to be sound. The vehicle has to be safe. The vehicle has to be in a good condition in order to carry you from point A to point B. Exactly in the same way, Akhirah is your destination. Priority should be given to the comforts over there. You want the best accommodation over there. You want the most awesome amenities over there. You want the best real estate over there. So priority is given to that. But at the same time, you need a vehicle that's going to carry you over there. The vehicle which Allah has given you is the dunya. But now you don't make the vehicle the objective, correct? Never is the vehicle made the objective. The objective is the destination. You are going to have a comfortable vehicle in order to carry you over there to your destination. So Allah says, there's nothing wrong in having a comfortable dunya that will serve as a vehicle to take you to the akhirah. But don't make the vehicle the objective and the purpose of your life. Because then you're going to forget about the destination. That vehicle is going to take you to a point, and when you get there, you'll say, Ya Salam, there's nothing here. What did Allah say? وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. The man was only concerned about the dunya, the vehicle. He didn't make dua for akhirah. When he comes to akhirah, he will find no khalaq. He will find no share for him over there in the akhirah. So that is hasana in this world. So we're asking Allah for hasana in this world. And hasana fi al-akhirah. Wa fi al-akhirah, and wallahi in the akhirah, we also want hasana. What is hasana in akhirah? In akhirah, hasana refers to everything. From Jannah, from paradise, all the countless and endless blessings and boons and comforts of paradise. That's all. So think about this. When you say hasana in your dua, it should not just be Allahumma arhamna atina fi dunya hasana fil akhirah. Think about the hasanat of akhirah. Pause at hasana. When you come to akhirah and asking for the hasana of akhirah, think about paradise. Oh Allah, I want paradise. I want the castles of paradise. I want all the pleasures and enjoyments and the luxuries of paradise. And the ultimate hasana in akhirah is what? Is the opportunity to see Allah. The opportunity to look at Allah. That is the ultimate pleasure of al-akhirah that we all hope to experience when the moment comes for you to look directly at Allah. So that is also included in the hasana for akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray with these words very frequently. This dua was given top priority in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This very dua. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit a sahabi of his who was extremely ill and frail and weak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what dua have you been making? You are in such a weak and frail state. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I made a dua to Allah. I said, Ya Allah, whatever difficulty you have reserved for me in the akhirah, that I may experience in the grave or on the day of Qiyamah or beyond that, give it to me in this world. Give it to me in this world. I don't want to experience it over there in Akhirah. So Rasulullah says, don't make such a dua. Rather make this dua. Allah, give me hasana in this world and give me hasana in Akhirah. So Allah will save you from the calamities in this world. And Allah will keep away the difficulties from you in the akhirah. Why are you making such a dua that, oh Allah, the difficulties of akhirah, give it to me in this world? That's not deen, that's not Islam. Islam does not teach you to ask for a life of difficulty and to ask for a life of sacrifice. No, if it comes, we endure and we persevere and we exercise sabr and patience. But you don't ask for it. That's why Rasulullah says, don't ask Allah to give you sabr. Why? Allah will give you a calamity in order for you to exercise sabr. Don't ever make dua, oh Allah, make me from the patient ones, make me from the patient ones. In order for you to exercise that attribute of patience, Allah is going to give you a calamity. But he said, Salullah al-afiyah. Ask Allah for afiyah. What is afiyah? Afiyah is another very comprehensive word. Afiyah means good health. Afiyah means safety. Afiyah means security. Afiyah means protection from every form of evil and crime and bad things in this world. Ask Allah for afiyah. And then after asking Allah for afiyah, if a calamity does come your way, then persevere. Then ask Allah to give you the strength to exercise sabr. It is sunnah to make this prayer, particularly while making tawaf. when you are making tawaf of Baytullah, okay, the best dua that you can make while making tawaf is the dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya. And mashallah, in Ramadan, the tawaf is going to take you a long time to make. So you can take your time with this dua. And the best time to make it during the tawaf. There are many adhkar. One of the dhikrs that you make while making tawaf, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah. Look, Rasulullah SAW did not stipulate any specific dhikr that should be made during tawaf. So there are a host of adhkar, dhikrs that you can make. The best, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah. That's the best dhikr. The best dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab an-nar, particularly between the two most significant corners of the Kaaba. Which are the two most significant corners of the Kaaba? Al-Hajr al-Aswad, where you start your tawaf, right? And al-Rukn al-Yamani, the fourth corner. So from the fourth corner, when you hit the fourth corner, right up to Hajr al-Aswad, the first corner, throughout that duration over there, while you are walking over there, recite this dua as many times as possible. What are the lessons that we learn from this dua? This dua corrects those who think that real ibadah lies in praying for the year after alone and claim that they do not care much about the mortal world. Some people claim, I don't want anything to do with this dunya. And I'm not going to make dua for this dunya. I'm only worried about the akhirah. This is ignorance. This is ignorance. To say that I'm not interested and I'm totally disinterested in this dunya and I'm not going to make dua for anything of this dunya, of this mortal world, this is a claim which carries no weight in Islam. In fact, it goes against the teachings of Islam. Right? That's one aspect that we learn from this dua. So you make dua for khair in this world, for hasana in this world. Why not enjoy the bounties of Allah in this world when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared and to make you enjoy those bounties? A person depends on his worldly needs not only for his life and sustenance, but also for performing the acts of worship and obedience. We spoke about that. The dunya is the vehicle that takes you over to the akhirah. Then there are those, on the other hand, so there are those who don't want to make dua for the dunya because they claim that is because of the piety that they have. My piety demands from me that I should not ask for anything of this dunya. That's an incorrect way of thinking. And the other extreme, those who only make dua for dunya and they do not make dua for akhirah. So you have these two extremes. So another lesson that we learn is that one should not focus all his or her attention on this material needs as if they were the very purpose of life. Don't make the vehicle the purpose of your life. Don't make the dunya the purpose of your life. Make dua for the dunya, but the purpose of your life is al-akhirah. Constantly seek protection against the fire of Jahannam. The last lesson we learn, because the dua, how does it end? Waqina, O Allah, protect us from adab an-nar, from the punishment of hellfire. Hellfire is a reality. Okay, it's a reality. Allah has created Jahannam, and there are people who will enter into Jahannam. Allah says, Jahannam will be filled to its brim. Jahannam will be filled to its brim. There are some people who will be entered into Jahannam, and they will be the fuel for Jahannam. Okay, so we need to seek protection from Allah min adabin nar, from the punishment of Jahannam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after every salah, he was the Nabi of Allah, yani Jannat was guaranteed for him. But yet, after every salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek protection from the adab of Jahannam and from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Bring your notes tomorrow.